Hello and welcome to I Want to Grow, and I Want to Grow is all about that, right? Everybody wants to grow. But with our guest, it's normally about them helping others grow. But today is a little different because we're celebrating 90 years of the British Council. So now we have somebody that's going to talk so well about them. Amira, thank you so much for coming on our podcast. Please introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
So my name is Amira Laji. I work as a community art lead in Qatar Foundation, and I manage all the art sector in QF. And I'm an artist as well.
Wow.
Yes,
wow.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit to start off with? Because I want people to realize, can you tell us a little bit about the Qatar Foundation?
Okay. So as a department, you mean, as a whole?
As a whole,
that's
tell
huge.
The world.
That's huge.
It's huge, right?
Yeah.
But it's exciting also.
Yeah, so as everyone knows, Qatar Foundation have a lot of projects around to develop community, around education, around creativity, around so many sectors actually, and so many umbrellas, let's say. However, me as Amira, I tend to love art since I was very young. And I grew from there. I studied back in UK. My master's degree, and I joined QF, I'm sure, 2009. And ever since, I've been working around the arts community, art projects, art development projects, all around Qatar Foundation. And now I'm managing the art department in QF, all the public art and the private art.
So you've been working with QF for nearly 15 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Because you've seen so much growth in that area.
Yeah, indeed.
I remember back then, I suppose, because I came in 2008, 2009. And I remember that was the biggest. You've got to get, if anybody says, when you come here to set up a business, everybody said, get involved in Qatar Foundation, because that, look at Education City.
Yeah.
It's just going to be huge. And it is now.
It
huge.
Is, yeah. And as you know, I'm sure you know, and everyone know that the leading, let's say, in Doha in art is Qatar Museums, yeah? However, the collection that Qatar Foundation have, let's say, a unique perspective toward community development, toward education specifically. So it have a special area in art itself. All the private collections, all the public art pieces that have that we have in Qatar Foundation have stories that link community and linked around community, around the family, around the education that Qatar Foundation is always try to highlight on.
What I really like about the way things are changing, all the different generations that's coming through, I'm a little bit older now, I'm getting on. But we didn't have those things in my day, you mm-hmm. know, it was just art, GCSE art, but there wasn't the ability to go into other sectors like camera work, like art. There was art, but not to the extent that we see it right now in Qatar, where they want, if this is the life you choose, this is the life we want to help and support you in.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I would say with Qatar right now is the way that they're, this building here, M7, that we're in right now. What they're doing for the creative side of things is immense.
Exactly. And it's interesting because in Qatar Foundation, I'm sure you know VCU, Virginia
Commonwealth. Of course, yeah.
Who's mainly into art and in design specifically, let's say. However, now they're having a lot of collaboration around. They have a collaboration with M7, Qatar Museum in general. There is a lot of initiatives also inside Qatar Foundation toward performing art. We used to have a festival called the Risha, and now a festival called Ghurra. And it's all about performing art. It's all about gathering people around art and to show like, it's not new internationally, but new maybe here in Doha, about how important is performing art, how it can be a changing element or key, let's say, toward growth. In communities.
You must have been at the Qatar Foundation all those years. You must have seen all of this growing.
Yeah.
You must have seen the different way that people are embracing it.
Yeah.
The next generation's embracing
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And to start with, like if I go back in years, it was a small department and it was doing just like small activities toward community where you can make, I don't know, art classes, music classes, all this stuff. But now we're talking about huge projects, like one of the hugest projects now we have in Qatar Foundation is Maqbul Fida Hussein installation. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
No, no.
It's a huge installation. I wish you can visit. I recommend that to whoever is listening to us. To Google that and to visit. It's open to public, actually. They can just reschedule a time that suits them and visit. It's a huge installation talking about Islamic and historical art and how is this Muslim Indian artist is seeing, let's say, the art in the era or the area here in the Middle East and in the region itself. So it's all these elements has been gathered around from his pieces, and it's a huge collection that has been gathered from different countries, from different collectors as well, and it's a private collection now in Qatar Foundation. It have a huge also, let's say, glasses, horses, that talking about how people or how the person in life has start to shift and growth from walking barefoot into having all these, let's say, animals, horses, whatever, and then cars, and how is this evolving can interfere in people's life now, and what does it mean, especially in the Gulf area?
I was talking to somebody yesterday, and it's quite funny how we're talking right now, and I'm sorry to be bringing it in like this, but I spoke with this professor yesterday from Texas, and he'd done a social experiment. And guess what he did? He lived in a dumpster for 1 year. 1 year he lived in a dumpster in the university. And what he was trying to do was he was trying to see what the differences were from going from a four-bedroom house with all the furniture and luxuries to go and start living in a dumpster.
Yeah.
And he said that it was very emotional when he left there because it taught him so many different things. And sometimes we have got that wealth side of things because he was trying to find out whether it was it that having everything made us happier.
Yes. It's, well, that's going to shift the whole conversation now.
but I look at it this side, the way that we're developing, and is it for the good?
Yeah, the one thing is,
The one thing I look at is the way that at heart, Qatar has the culture.
And I always... Whoever like ask me about this, I always highlight one thing in art and in artist life as well. It's the process. It's the process and who you are and the background of the artist life, the real life, not the life that we see in social media or whatsoever, but the real life that can tell us who are you, how do you think, what do you do, what is your art exactly talking about, and how close that art can come to us emotionally, intellectually, whatsoever. It's all about the inner life of the artist, if you got what I mean. It's not what we have. It's not the furniture. It's not the car that I'm driving. It's not how do I dress it. It's not at all, not all of that. I mean, even if you walk around now in the location that we are in today, Orkington or outside, you will see an art that you can stand and you look at and you say, oh, this is beautiful. And then there are some art pieces that you might not say beautiful, but then it tells you something, it evokes something, it moves something inside you emotionally. And this is the real art. At least this is what I believe.
I see a different side of you now when you're talking about this stuff, and you're an artist. But this is what life is all about. I would say that I was an artist too. I was a chef for 25 years.
Wow.
And I needed to be an artist. I needed to express myself.
Yeah.
What is it like when you, because you're there at the front line talking to the students possibly and talking to people, and you're trying to get them to accept these feelings they're having.
Yes.
That must be something special.
It is. And it's not easy at all.
No.
Yeah, because I do have a background. I have a master in fine art, but then I have a degree in therapeutic art. So when I sit with, let's say, clients or students, if you want to call them students, it's not easy to tell them how to express yourself through art. and through colors, through media. You know, it's always like, I mean, here in the region, we've been so verbally or so physically, but we never, I won't say never, but it's not that much that we're linked to our emotion and we can express our emotion freely. It's hard. So to use this element, which is a third party or a third element as a material, to express all this emotion and idea, it's not easy. And to explain it every single time to a student starting from 3 years or 4 years, it's not easy. But however, it's just letting go. Letting go of the whatever idea is controlling you now, whatever emotion is holding you back now, just sit in an area, have these elements, just start with them. Sometimes you lead the conversation and or the process itself toward a specific art piece. And sometimes it is dragging you to a specific area. And the key part here is how linked you are to your emotion. Again, it's at least this is in my, yani, this is what I believe in. It's always about how connected you are to your inner self.
But that's something that it just doesn't come in an instant.
Absolutely,
right?
It takes time.
And again, coming back to you, to see that development in individuals, to all of a sudden to find that kind of feeling, that yeah. engaging, that spiritual side of things also, in the sense that I'm doing what I love.
Yeah.
That must be magical.
Yes.
And when they produce their artwork or whatever it may be, then you see people develop. Then you and the one thing I like about, and I do know a little bit about QF and everything to do with the British Council, is it's all about kind of putting your arms around somebody.
Yeah.
It's all about being family. It's all about sharing experience, respect, and learning about different cultures. And I think that's where this whole learning process is something special.
And this is the part that QF has always highlighted, is always be linked to the to our identity, to our, like, who we are as a community, who we are as a people in this community as well. It's not just because, you know, Qatar Foundation is open. We have all this university coming from across all over the countries around the world. But who we are exactly now is, back, if you go back 20 years, is so much different. Like, you walk into Qatar Foundation now and you can see, okay, this is Qatar Foundation. We are in Qatar, though we have VCU, we have Carnegie Mellon, we have just so many different universities from America or worse whatsoever. But you still feel you are here in Doha. And this is the point that Qatar Foundation is always highlighting, is to build our identity, to build our own self through education, through, like, coming all around together, around all these elements, as you said. It's a home. It's a home for us. For people who work actually in Qatar Foundation, and for people who have, I don't know, their kids in schools, or you just visit us, everyone can feel that.
I must admit, with the Qatar Foundation, and I talk about a lot of things to lots of people, and the education side of things in Qatar is huge, but what they do, what Sheikha Moses created, the legacy that it's going to last for hundreds and hundreds of years, and it's going to go from strength to strength. It's quite, and it's all about this type of thing, is finding your inner self, being able to provide you the support to reach whatever level you want to reach.
Yeah, and celebrate individuality
and
as well.
And celebrate. Yeah. And sometimes, and this is nowhere near a criticism. This is about the humbleness of Qatar and Qataris. Is that you're humble?
Yes,
you're humble.
Alhamdulillah.
And sometimes you look at your medical side of things. I was at ITCAN and at HMC yesterday, and you've got the best facilities in the world.
Yeah.
And it's not just from what I've seen; it's from what I've heard from some of the best consultants in the world.
Yes.
Best doctors in the world come here, and they say, you have got the best facilities I've ever seen. And this guy was 74 years old, and what he's done in leukemia was incredible. But these are the things that we've got around us right now. And this is what people say to me about quality of life. But it's all about that next generation. How do we bring them through? How do we kind of get them to feel their inner self, to do something really special, whether it's a doctor, whether it's an artist? It's okay.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's always, again, and I'm keep I'm sorry, I keep repeating that, but it's always link you. Once you are linked to your inner self, once you know who you are, once you know what you want to do, once you know what is your passion, then you have everything. We have everything in Doha today. We have everything.
And people are going to say, yeah, you're the richest country. It got nothing to do with money. Right. Okay. There is an element of it that if you didn't have the money, how could you do this? But the thing with it is they don't kind of they plow it back into the nation. They plow it back into the country. They want the best. They want to get away from fossil fuels. They want to get away from these things, and they're trying to invest in so many different areas. And that's what I like about Qatar. They are constantly moving forward. They're constantly they don't believe in anything that can't be achievable. And it's only with people that you're going to achieve those things. And it's empowering those people. And I don't want to keep on going on about this, but we come from the same thing. I think Qatar has wonderful things that it does for so many different people, so many different nationalities, so many different cultures.
Yeah.
And it's that growth that we're going to see over the years. It's going
absolutely,
to be unbelievable.
Absolutely. And this is actually also a huge role that Qatar Foundation is playing. They celebrate multicultural and diversity community that we have within QF.
Of course.
People who work in QF, actually. And that's why I love Qatar Foundation, actually.
It's a special place.
It is.
It's a special place.
Yes.
I know that it gave me that time in Qatar. We spoke about it. My life was 12 years ago, my life changed when I went to Carnegie Mellon and they asked me to be a mentor for startups. And I said, no way, I'm not worthy. And to be quite honest with you, that really did change my life. And it changed my life because ever since then, I've got involved in the different universities, one or the other, right? And Texas A&M I've been involved with, HBKU I've been involved with. There's been so many of the universities that I've been involved with. And they're hungry.
Yeah, absolutely. You are right.
They're like sponges.
Yes.
They're
yes.
soaking all of this up. And it's incredible to see. But it's, again, and I'm not just trying to creep around Sheikha Moza, but what she's done is just incredible.
It is, indeed.
Unbelievable.
Huge, yeah.
Huge.
And you can see it's paying off now. It's, yeah.
And it's only going to get bigger and bigger because they've got people like you that's identifying this talent and helping them to embrace it.
I mean, look at what's happening tomorrow. Sheikha Moza, Her Highness Sheikha Moza, will have a photo with all Qatar Academy students. I mean, it's to think about these details. My daughter is one of these students. So tomorrow, yeah, she's grade one. So tomorrow, she's super excited. Like, Sheikha Moza will be next to us. And because she know what she done. She know what is Qatar Foundation. She know what's Qatar Academy. Who built all of this stuff here in Doha. And for her to see her so closely, or even, I don't know how far she will be from her. But, you know, as a role model, you're there on ground. People see you. People come close to you. People hear about you. This is so inspiring. This is so inspiring.
So inspiring. And she's not going to sleep tonight. She's going to be waking up every 2 minutes because it's going to be a great day for them tomorrow.
It is.
Wow. With the British Council, we're celebrating British Council. We could have spoke for days about Qatar Foundation. We could have, an education city. But we're talking about, we're celebrating the British Council right now. What has been your experience with them?
So British Council, I have a long story actually with them and a long start since 2008 or 9 when I start to develop my English language. And then when I went to Sheffield to study business English language and early childhood diploma, I know the whole team there and they were so helping. They're so good in answering question if I need help and anything, finishing paper or whatsoever, any regulations there back in UK. So every time I reach out, they will answer, they will tell me what to do. But the biggest actually collaboration that I had with them on a personal level as an artist was in 2013 in the Qatar UK Artist Exchange Program. I was one of three Qatar artists, and we had the three British artists as well. And they came to Doha. I mean, the initial, I think, program was we supposed to go to UK, but then they came here. And the program was so thoughtful. I mean, it shifted my art practice. I used to do abstract painting back then, and it was the door that opened for me to enter the media world. Yeah, I've been doing video since 2013. Sound art as well, photography. It's so good. It was a good program, actually. And I'm still in contact with those artists, which is so good because, you know, they visit one of their artists. She visited Qatar, actually, I think 6 years ago. So after plus 10 years. And she was talking about how Qatar is so different and how the art has become a huge part here in Doha, which is so good. This is one of the major thing for me as an artist. But then we have a lot of collaboration as a Qatar Foundation and a British Council as well. We have a lot of collaboration around galleries, around program, around panel discussions as well, around a lot of topics about art in Doha.
I've seen so many things with them too, but I just never realized how wonderful they were, because I've seen them bring over sports stars. Duncan Goodhue, I remember, he was on one of our podcasts. I remember the Speaker of the House of Commons. They brought him over. Yeah. It was the first time that he'd visited Qatar, and he was just in awe by it all. So these things really do help.
Absolutely.
Bring people together.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember one of the panel discussion that we did back in Qatar Foundation, and it was a collaboration with the British Council. It's all about art and heritage. And heritage was a huge part at that year in Qatar. I think in Qatar was trying to build the policy and the regulation around heritage. So British Council has played a huge role around that as well.
Without a shadow of a doubt, I think it's about 60 interviews that we've completed already. And everybody has got a different story. But everybody's got some magic that they've experienced along the way. The way that there's a lady, a Filipino lady, and she was the first testing center for some of the exams. And it was the first one. And I know the lady, and she when you look at her, it was like you could see how nervous she was.
Mm.
But now she's got 7 test centers.
Mashallah.
Where all of a sudden these ripples, and I said to her, I said, how many people have you helped? 70,000? And she said, more,
mashallah.
More. And I think that's what I've been just taken back by is the amount of work that they've done with so many people that's helped those bonds, the ones that you've spoken about, the meaningful processes that they've took you on that journey.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they've got such an impact in your life. You went to Sheffield to do yours. That must have been pretty lonely.
When you went to study
yeah. your master's.
Yeah.
And it must have been a pretty lonely to go from Qatar to Sheffield, right?
No.
I was going to say, but to have a family there that you could pick up the phone.
That's the thing, because I have a family there. For me, at least. I don't know about others, but I always feel, I mean, a lot of Qataris now feel UK is home, second home.
I was told by somebody that you've got 300 Qataris.
Yeah.
But on a yearly basis, the visits from Qatar is 4 million.
Yeah.
So you look at how many times each Qatari's gone to the UK.
Yeah.
Look, it's very...
Though when I was studying back then in Sheffield, I think I was the only Qatari student there. Yeah, yeah. In Sheffield specifically. But we have a lot of students from Saudi Arabia, from Emirates. But I never felt lonely, not just because I have friends and family back there, but I think it's the whole system that supports you from Doha, either the British Council or the ministries or the whole system. Wherever you go, in UK or outside, you feel home because you have all the answers. You know what to do. You know what to.
And you think about that the British Council has been here since 1972. They are family,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
They are family. They're yes. there for the support. They're there to
and
help
and
guide.
And they have a huge legacy now in Doha.
Of
wherever
course.
You go, wherever you go, you can see their contribution in
of
a lot of things
course.
Around Doha. Yeah.
I never thought, and I remember Wasim, it was one of the Ramadan iftar that I met him in Musharrib, just across the road here.
Mm.
And he said he asked me what I did, and then this has been a wonderful experience for me. And then it's just that ripple effect, right? So all of a sudden you meet somebody,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden your world is open into so many other different areas, and those relationships go from just a meet to something quite considerable.
Yes, all the gatherings that they do back in UK or here after graduation, when they gather all the students from all over, yani London, Sheffield, Birmingham, whatever, you meet people who've been living here with you, who study something different, but you've been linked together all the time without knowing, if that makes sense. It's British Council who gather us all the time here in Doha. And I'm not saying that because I know the team. I really love what they're doing, and I really love their project around art or other sectors as well. But it's, again, it's the legacy that they keep. If I ask my father about British Council, he know about it, and he know about projects that they've been done here in Doha. And it's a conversation that I really had with him. So it's huge. It's huge what the team is doing. It's really huge, really great.
You know something, I don't think, I've got one more question, because I can't do any better than that. With what you've just said, I can't do any better than that. I can't sum it up, and we've got that recorded, so that's never going to go away. So what you've just said is going to be magnificent for them. But I have got one question to ask you, and it's the one word that can best explain the British Council.
I would say, because I'm someone who travel to UK a lot, whether I'm a student or not, but every time I come back here, British Council is home for me, because I see UK as a home as well. So British Council rooted me to UK, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amira, thank you so much for sharing this with
thank
us
you.
On the podcast today.
Thank you.
And thanks for the message.
Me.
The British Council are going to love that. But I think you've just given the essence of what the British Council means to so many people here in Qatar.
And they really deserve it. They're really doing well, mashallah. So all the best to everyone. And thank you for having me again.
Oh, dear me. It's been an absolute joy. Thank you so much for joining
thank
us
you.
Today. Thank you.